Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our season finale of Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, along with Deuce McAllister, with you until 6 o'clock tonight, getting you ready for a continuation, I should say, of a great football weekend that we wish we were a bigger part of. With the college football last night, Notre Dame beats Penn State. And I got to ask you, hello, Deuce, how are you first?
Doing well, sir, in this breaking news environment that we live in.
Gosh, man, the news cycle is spinning like a top. But I know if I don't say it now, I'll forget. I got to ask you, in the Notre Dame-Penn State game, the run by Jeremiah Love from a running back standpoint, one of the best two-yard runs I've ever seen.
And he probably ran, 35, right. 40 yards
His
just to get 2 years.
Two yards.
And that's just pure determination.
Right.
Pure determination, pure will to want to score. And, you know, as a running back, I love it.
I had a feeling on that one.
It's leg drive. It's the sled. It's the heels. It's that forward lean as far as the body is concerned. And you got to reach. Yeah. I want you to strain. And it paid off for him.
So as Deuce talked about, it's the big college last night with Notre Dame beating Penn State. Tonight, Texas and Ohio State. Then, of course, wild card weekend, which is, the NFL wild card weekend, which – kind of seems somewhat simple, but then, of course, what's going on in Los Angeles, and that's part of the breaking news. There are two games, the Chargers and Rams both impacted. The Chargers play in Houston, so they left early. The Rams were supposed to host it. That game's been moved to Monday in Arizona with Minnesota, but they left early. So the Arizona sent planes to go pick up the Rams. And again, man, we've been there. Hearts and prayers to everybody. It ain't like it's over.
No.
That's a problem with the wildfire situation. And I say this, we saw it, right? We were there in July and August. Every day, the same. It was a tinderbox in August. I was like, man. We talk to people like, when was that time it rained? They said April. And I was reading a quote today.
I think 90 days.
Right. University of California wildfire specialist Max Moritz says, we haven't seen substantial rain for hundreds of days.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. In one area I was reading about, it had been 89 days. 89 days since the last time that they had rain.
Yeah.
And so here, you want to know something else that's interesting, Mike? This isn't even the season.
Oh, no, it's usually late fall with the Santa Ana winds. Because normally they get some rain, and by the time they'll get some dousings.
Yeah.
And there's a big cutoff, Northern California versus Southern California. But it's just haven't got it.
So, yeah.
And they don't get it when in the summer. That's normal.
Correct.
And then the Santa Ana winds come off the mountaintops in September, October. You're right.
This is not season. This is something like us having a hurricane in March. And you're like, what? Yeah,
I'm knocking on wood
cover
all bases.
Hopefully, the water is very, very cool and it doesn't happen. But this is like us in New Orleans. Hey, there's a hurricane out in the Gulf, and so it's tracking towards us. And everybody in New Orleans or in our area would be like, what? Those normally hurricane season doesn't start until June. What is there a hurricane in the? But I mean, that's literally what it. Almost is like, then it is tough.
Man.
And I also, from a basketball perspective, I think it was Charlotte and the Lakers. That game got canceled because of the fires out in California.
And it's been, first off, we're going to have Mark Spears on at 4:30 today, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Anscape. Louisiana native, New Orleans native. Also at 5:20, we have Jonathan Stinchcomb. We'll talk a lot about the Saints, of course, and their coaching situation and all the changes going on. It's just been – it feels like if we talked about the news cycle. When you think about it, so week four, and typically the Saints are the team, right? We're the team that gets impacted by weather. So you play Atlanta week four, they're dealing with Hurricane Helene week four, flooding southeast. Saints play the game. Then week six, Hurricane Milton impacts Tampa, so they're impacted. And then, with the situation, prior to the Tampa game, week 18, and the tragedy here in New Orleans, it's good gosh, it has just been. And then the final bit, as we'll close out this, you know, spinning news cycle, Zion Williamson will be suspended for a game for violating team policy. And so they are playing tonight in Philadelphia. And so he played Tuesday, sat out Wednesday. That was a day of rest against Portland.
On the back-to-back.
And I think, you know, I was at that game, and it was, anyway, it was rough. Rough from beginning to end. And so they're in, it's a first of a three-game road swing, Philly, Boston, Chicago. So he sits out tonight, right?
Yeah, he sits out. He'll sit out tonight, and he released a statement as well. And, you know, just knowing that he's got to hold himself to a higher standard. And so I think the team and he agreed that a one-game suspension, you know, is what I don't want to say what he's needed, but that's what they're going with. And I think they play again on Sunday in Boston. And then, you know, I think you got the other road game. And then they're
Chicago, yeah.
And then they have a back-to-back right after that, you know, after Chicago. They're back here in New Orleans, if I believe correct. And, you got to do everything. Even if it seems small, you know, you got to do the little things right. And so the other part of that breaking news is Herb Jones has a torn labrum. And that was announced earlier by the team. Yep. And so he's out indefinitely. And so it's just as soon as this team is starting to get a little bit more healthier, boom. You know, just the avalanche of injuries just strikes again with Trey having the ankle sprain. You get Zion back. They can't play together. You know, and then the next game, you get Herb that ends up banging his shoulder a little bit. And he had already hurt that shoulder earlier this year and can't catch a break.
I don't know if you watched or were there, the Tuesday night game with Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
That was a different energy.
Right.
It's a different team on the court.
Yeah, it's a pure energy deal. And, you know, you couldn't make shots. You couldn't make shots enough to win that game. And, you know, Minnesota's, they're figuring it out. They've got a pretty good squad with Anthony Edwards. But at the same time, the energy was not the same the next day. And even for a team like Philly, who you're playing tonight, you got Maxey, and you know I don't know. Embiid has been hurt.
Embiid.
Yeah, Embiid has been hurt off and on, but you never know what you're going to get with him. And you know they make the big move as far as Paul George in the offseason being able to bring him. And you know I can't say that they're playing lighting it on fire. So it was a game that the Pelicans, you know, I don't want to say should have had, but hopefully you would have been competitive in now. I just don't know if that's going to be the case, you know. And Hawk is kind of struggling with his three-point shooting and his shooting overall. You know, he's been dealing with a back issue as well, and this team has just been hampered.
Well, we'll talk more again with Mark Spears in about 9 minutes as we kind of get back into the Pelicans and their troubles. And you, the Saints, of course, such a different atmosphere or such a different coverage. So they have coaches now, you know, you can do some interviews virtually. And, you know, back when I was in sports, you would have to, like, hide out under the bushes to try to see if maybe coaches would arrive and try to get a picture at the airport. Now the team puts out, hey, today we interviewed X, today we interviewed Y, you know. And so they interviewed Aaron Glenn from Detroit. They're in a certain weird little window where you can interview the people who are in the bye week, so Kansas City and Detroit. You can interview virtually people who have been eliminated, and after January 19th, you can do that in person. So there's just a lot of nuances.
Even if they're in the bye week, you can interview them, but it has to still be virtual.
Right.
It still has to be virtually. There's only a handful of coaches. I think Mike Vrabel is one that you can interview in person because his contract has expired.
Right.
He's not under contract with any team like some of those other guys. And what's interesting is Coach Mike McCarthy, whose name has been thrown out there a little bit, he is still under contract they're an exclusive negotiating window with the Dallas Cowboys.
And I think they said today they wanted to talk to him, didn't they? They say they wanted to talk to McCarthy?
Well, no, they've been talking, but it hadn't been serious. Let me put it that way. Because Dallas denied Chicago from interviewing Mike McCarthy because they could have technically did it, but Dallas said, nope, we want to hold our exclusive window. That exclusive window ends on the 14th. Not to say if they don't have a deal done by then, they can't continue to talk, but he will be free to talk to other teams, whether it's virtually or in person then as well, which is, you know, for him, I'm going to use it as leverage. And as you know, normally things don't happen until you get into that, hey, we only have, you know, 48 hours or 36 hours.
Right. Somebody's back's got to be to the wall.
Well, they both have a framework anyway. Yeah. You know, the agents, they have a framework. They just hadn't submitted it. They're not just talking to say, hey, Mike, how's the weather out there?
That's right. Oh, you know, I'm not going to talk about the contract. Just wanted to see you know, how things are going.
Yeah, Jerry,
hypothetically, if we were to say.
Are you flying into the camp today? You know, you haven't submitted XYZ. You know, so they're having conversations. But it may not be into the detail that it takes to get a contract done.
So today was Aaron Glenn. Yesterday, Anthony Weaver of Miami. Mike Kafka was Thursday from the New York Giants. So we'll just follow it along and see where things go as we work our way to the Super Bowl LIX right here in New Orleans, February 9th. Come back after a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. This is Fans of the Pro with you until 6 o'clock tonight here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Sorry, I was finishing up my cough drop there. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Our season finale, just the season finale show as we talk about the Saints, the playoffs, the Super Bowl, the Pelicans tonight. And we bring into the conversation Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for Anscape and ESPN. Louisiana Native, New Orleans Native. How you doing, Mark?
Man, can I give y'all some rosary beads, man? Like, golly. Jesus, Lord.
Mark, we need a little bit more than that. I mean, it's...
Man, do we need to go to church right now and go kneel down? Like, what's going on with y'all?
It's tough. I'll tell you one thing. When breaking news comes on your phone and it's from the Pelicans, it is typically... It hasn't been good news. And it isn't today.
You got punched twice today.
You did. I know. Well, we're bruised already, so we're not used to it, but we're bruised already. But I mean, it's, I guess when you kind of live in the bubble like we are, we feel like we're an aberration. Now you cover the whole league. What's happened to this team this year? Is it an aberration? These many injuries? This many kind of knocks at you?
Well, first of all, man, can I please give my prayers and condolences to, you know, everybody out there in New Orleans, greater New Orleans, Louisiana, even the family in England who went through the tragedy, man. My prayers and condolences with them. And so, but to answer your question, this is my 26th year covering the NBA, and I can't say that I've had notice of a team that's had this many injuries. It's just incredible. And not just injuries, but injuries to your key players. Like, Yves Messi, who I have, you know, a feature on today, he's basically the only guy that ain't been touched, right? Like what's going on? It's just stunning. It's sad. It's incredible. I really feel, because we continually say with this team, with Zion, this is like, I mean, will you change the name to the What Ifs? Forget Pelicans, change the name to the What Ifs. Because I will, since the days of DeMarcus Cousins, there is no team that I will say what if more than the New Orleans Pelicans, man. It's just like, is y'all doomed? Is somebody voodoo the squad? Like, I just don't get it. And in terms of Zion's last thing, to me, this is different too. This is like, all right, we've had enough. We're not playing games with you no more. Like, this is the first time he was late. Dude, shoot, how many dudes was late to planes, bro? If he got in trouble because he late to, I've heard stories of NBA stars regularly being late to planes. So if he got suspended a game for being late to a plane, that tells me they're done.
Well, Mark, how are you, sir? Can I change the
I'm
subject?
Sorry, or? I just, I'm sorry. Y'all asked me to come on. Every time y'all come out, ask me to come on, it's Armageddon going on with this franchise.
We didn't know that it was going to drop like that, though. We thought we were going to have some good news.
I'm starting to think it's my fault. Like, when I come on, like, stuff got to happen.
It's definitely not your fault. And, you know, I was just going to say, even Ives, he's had back issue. He's left games in the middle of games, you know, just because of injuries, but he hadn't been like some of the other guys where they've missed, you know, 10 or 15 games consecutively or anything like that. And so it was a double blow. It was a double blow. And, you know, here's the thing. I can't speak specifically because I hadn't been on enough planes with the NBA, but yes, they are very similar into from a structure standpoint, and hey, you got to be here. Yeah. This plane is leaving here. Even myself,
I will say, Deuce, that Saints NFL is different than NBA. Like, not throwing any NBA players out on the street, but it's typical that the NBA superstar is late to the plane on a regular basis. Like, one NBA player told me yesterday, former NBA player, not mentioning names, mentioned two superstars he played with, like, the plane never left on time. So my point is, if they are suspending them for a game for being late to a plane, like, every NBA star does that. Every NBA star is late all the time. How late? I don't know. How late did he come? I don't know. But the fact that they now we're five years in, and starting to discipline this man, like, this is different. This is, to me, like, because the Pelicans have a reputation, respectfully, of a team that, like, just turns us back to anything that Zion does. That's always pampered him. That's always giving him the keys to just do whatever. I'd be stunned, absolutely stunned, if this is the first time that Zion was ever late to a plane. But if you look across the league, this is a normal occurrence for some of the NBA's greatest stars, past and present. So to fine him for this, to me, there's a deeper meaning, and this basically says, and he even put, there's either more to the story or this team is at its wit's end, and maybe we're starting to see the final days of Zion in the Pelicans uniform.
Yeah, I don't know because I hadn't been around it enough to be able to say that we're going to wait on it. But for the NFL, I've been there. Even myself, y'all, was scared.
Yeah, I've got too many guys.
Yeah, well, and you will get left in the NFL. You are going to get fined.
Yeah.
They will fine you for not even being there on time to the airport. Much less, they're not going to wait
unless your
longer.
Name is Drew, though. Hey, what if Drew shows late?
Well, Drew's going to get fined. And Drew is probably – he better be able to show him that I'm here within 2 to 3 minutes. If not, he better be calling the charter service and getting there because they're not going to wait. Trust me, I've been there.
Okay.
They're not going to wait. And so even for the QB, they are not going to wait. I mean, because once you open that door, look out.
Yeah. No, and respectfully, I do think the NBA, sadly, is different in that regard. It's a lot less people, and they're just I mean, look, again, I've been covering the NBA for a long time, and it's commonplace for a star to regularly be late to a plane, like it's expected. So if this is the punishment, this is like the first time. And you guys, look, you guys are there every day. Has Zion ever been punished before?
If it is, it's been internal.
Right. Hadn't been public.
Yeah. Nothing public, right? So to me, like, this is different. This is interesting. This is an exclamation point. I've never known him to be fined. Not something for this. Not something that's commonplace for stars in the league. So to me, you know, this means it's a changing of the guard on how they're, you know, the baby gloves are off now with Zion Williams.
But again, Mark, what's your record? I can accept it if I'm winning. I can't accept it if this is the effort and this is the stuff that we're doing as a team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to your point, and you know, it's when I covered the Nuggets years ago, I know that Melo was late on a regular basis, or that Allen Iverson was late on a regular basis, but these dudes are dropping 40 and they're playing. Like, you know what I mean? So what are you gonna say, right? Like, so what? I mean, Allen wasn't late to the plane. Melo was late to planes. Like, Allen missed shoot around, didn't go to shoot arounds and practices, but they're dropping 40 and they don't miss games. So I think when you're a star who produces and plays 90% of the time, perhaps there's a lot more leeway. And because he's just missed so many games, I just think I don't know. To me, this is a sign like, all right, maybe this will be something that will either shake him up or want him to want out. But it tells me that they're not babying Zion anymore.
Right. Well, and we'll kind of push towards some of the games, but you know, it comes after a Wednesday night game, back to back, where he didn't play.
Yeah.
So they fly out Thursday. He didn't play Wednesday because it was back to back. Again, we'll figure it out. So, Philly tonight, 15-20. Chicago, game 3, 17-20. And sandwiched in the middle is Boston at 27-10. Your thoughts on the Celtics and the year they're having after what they did last year?
I think Celtics are kind of bored with the process right now. I know Cleveland, understandably so, is the king of the NBA at this point. Great win over OKC. Best record in the league. They're rolling. I mean, I still see Boston as the team. Not that Cleveland can't challenge them. Not that Cleveland can't make them sweat. But Boston is just too talented. And I think the biggest challenge for them right now is the coaches trying to be like, hey, like, we need to push to be the number one seed. We want more games in Boston than we don't want to play any games on the road, right? Not any games, but we don't want to lose home court. So I could see them making a big push in the second half. And Cleveland has also been so much so benefited from a very, very healthy season. They had a long list of injuries a season ago, and they've been healthier than any team in the league. They haven't had any adversity from a health standpoint. So I think that's a big reason why their record has jumped up. I mean, even when they play OKC, Chet Holmgren's not playing. So Oklahoma City's not at full strength. So, I mean, I'm really impressed with Cleveland. I'm very impressed with what they've done. But kind of looking at the big picture, and I like Boston still as the best team in the league.
Well, it's been rough, man. You talked about him a little bit, and you know, he won the rookie player of the month in December. What do you see in Yves Mesi, and what do you like?
You know, I got to see him a couple years ago. I met him. I'm actually coincidentally in Napa right now, and he was playing with Prolific Prep in Napa, and I got a chance to talk to him there. And really, really smart guy, and he remembered me. And the great thing about his story is, you know, typically you hear guys say, like, I dreamed about making the NBA. I dreamed about being the next Michael Jordan. When he came to America from Cameroon in 2021, it just sounded fun. I got an opportunity to go to a prep school in Napa. It just sounded fun, so I went. Like, it was just like, yeah, why not? I ain't doing nothing. I'll go out there. And he ended up playing better than expected. And he goes to Prolific Prep in Napa, plays there for a year. And then, you know, after that, things sparked in Baylor quickly than expected. And he had a big game against Duke, which basically put him into the NBA. It was that game that proved that he was an NBA player. And he ended up getting 21st pick by, I think, a brilliant pick by the Pelicans. You got a young guy who has size, athleticism, rim protector, can block shots, and he's still very raw. So, like, I think he'll become a better offensive player. I'm curious to see, like, in 5 years, you know, what kind of offensive player he is. So in a season of despair, season in disappointment, a season where Man, next time I see Willie Green, man, I want to get a bottle of red wine, which we both enjoy, and give him a hug. You know, he's the bright spot. He's the one thing to be excited and happy about.
Well, as we close out, I kind of sounded like those vehicles passing. I feel like you're close to a winery in Napa right now.
Yeah, no, I'm actually an ambassador for Kendall Jackson Wine. They're a sponsor of the NBA, WNBA, and USA Basketball. And had a little light day and had a couple excursions at Prisoner Wine and Raymond Wine, where they hooked me up with some wine with my Hall of Fame pitcher on it. So it's been a good day. Had a good lunch. It's, you know, light Friday heading back.
Well,
gonna go watch some football when I get back. Maybe Deuce can give me a prediction of what I'm gonna see tonight, you know. But yeah, man, I'm having a better day than the Pelicans.
Deuce, Ohio State, and Texas can
Mark,
push,
continue,
right?
Continue that great day on that pick. I hope we just have a great game, like, you know, goes into late fourth quarter with it being, you know, within 7 or 3. I like Texas in that matchup. It's hard to say that Ohio State hasn't peaked
at
the right
time. Can I ask you something, Deuce, real quick?
Yeah, they playing well, though.
How should LSU Nation feel about – how should we feel about Texas? Should we be rooting for them or rooting against them? I don't know how to feel about Texas right now.
Well,
you know, I guess when we're out, we're supposed to, like, root SEC, but I don't know, man. I ain't ready for them to be national champs in SEC just yet.
I think you're just rooting for a good game. I don't know if that I can say that I'm rooting for Texas. You know, it's I'm rooting for some players that you know on the squad on both sides of the ball. But it's really, yeah. I can't say that I want Texas to win a championship as well.
Can we just get a tie? I want a tie.
They'll keep playing. They'll come back tomorrow.
I don't want either team to win.
I'm with you there.
That's what we felt last week when we were playing Tampa and Atlanta was playing Carolina. A couple of ties. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Scape. Enjoy your time in Napa. Our thoughts and prayers to everybody in California as well. We'll talk to you soon.
And, hey, real quick thought. Herb Jones, amazing guy, one of the best people I've ever covered in the NBA, so Godspeed to him, too, to get better.
Well said, well said. Take a break. Thank you, Mark. Here on WLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. You're listening to Fans and the Pro with Deuce McAllister and Mike Hoss. Welcome back, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, Fans and the Pro. It's the Pelicans tonight in Philadelphia against the 76ers. Pregame at 5:30, tip-off at 6 right here on the Big 870 WLAM. And LSU basketball fans catch the Tigers. Who are they playing? Ole Miss? Tomorrow, pregame at 4:30, tip-off at 5. It's on our sister station, The Bet, 92.9 FM, and, of course, 1350 AM.
Yeah, that should be a pretty interesting game. I think Ole Miss has started. Well, I know they've started 2-0 in conference, and so we talked a little bit earlier about basketball and how tough the men's side. I know the ladies pulled off a close one. I think that was last night. LSU ladies did. But when we talk about the men's side, particularly going on the road, you got to have some players. And so I don't know how because I don't know if school has officially started up in Oxford. I don't know crowd
seems
wise.
Early to me. I feel like it's around the 16th, something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what crowd wise what it'll be like.
And they're fighting weather.
And the weather is the other part of it. I don't know what that will look like. But, that's going to be an interesting game just because, you know, LSU going into that environment, anytime you go on the road in the SEC, you got to be ready to play. And so we'll see. I mean, we'll kind of see.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have Jonathan Stinchcomb, of course, former Saints Super Bowl champion offensive tackle. And, of course, the Super Bowl coming and Jari Evans. You know, hopefully on February 6th when they do the NFL honors. I mean, it's all over. It's got to be tough for Jari.
Well, tough for Jari, but the other one, and we have it because we do the weekly show, the Cam Jordan. I don't know if you talked about
the
that.
The Bart Starr.
And that's not just for the New Orleans Saints.
No.
That's all 32 teams.
I think it's the fourth one that they've Ben Watson. I talked to Ben Watson not too long ago. So they're just high character high character individuals.
Yeah, and so that's a tremendous honor for Cam, and you know, hopefully Jari gets that call that we've been waiting on, and I know he's been waiting on, and obviously you're anxious.
Probably won't stop answering the question, right? It's just tough.
Yeah, because every year you kind of
okay, but it's only this is his second year as a finalist.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You're going through it. And it's always tough for an offensive lineman unless you're a left tackle and Ja was a guard. And so it's just like, man, every year it seems like another quarterback pops up and they make it even harder. You know, and so hopefully he can get in this year.
And JT Gray, how about that? Second team all pro for the third time, the 2018 undrafted free agent out of Clarksdale, Mississippi. Keep this block, our Mississippi block.
Yeah, Clarksdale, Mississippi. JT spent a little time in Las Vegas, got to talk to his dad, and obviously I know his mom and everything, and JT has done a ton. He and Elgin Jenkins, he's the offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers. They both are from Clarksdale, and they've done a lot in that community, at that school, and JT is well-deserving. Got shafted for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, that's a disaster.
But trust me, he will take that all pro all day. Yep. I mean, because it's your
peers.
There you go. It's your peers, but it's also, you know, it's both conferences. It's not just, hey, you're NFC Pro Bowler. Nah, you're all pro. You know, you're second team, but you're all pro. Yep. And that's both on both sides of it. So congratulations to JT Gray.
We'll talk more about it in the second hour. I wanted to just make sure we got it out there. It's the third time. He was first team All-Pro 2021, second team All-Pro in 2019, and now second team All-Pro here in 2024. Take a break. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, back out to this here on Fans of the Pro, WLAMFM.com, and always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's Pelicans basketball after that. I want to thank the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pasta, sandwiches, wings, salads, and more. MagazinePizza.com. I guess I'll take a little break since the game day crew won't be, unfortunately, is not working this weekend. It's a great weekend. This is a good weekend of football.
It's a great weekend, and this is one I want you to think about over the break. Carson Beck.
Yes.
Declares for the NFL from Georgia. Has a hurt arm, shoulder, can't play in the playoff game. Declares, has some back channel talks because of NIL, decides he may want to come back. Within a day of declaring that he's coming back, agrees to sign with Miami. What's your thought on it? We'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay, I got homework. Homework in the break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister tonight. We'll have a lot more coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have Jonathan Stinchcomb. We'll talk to him about the same situation, the coaching situation, and all that and more. The news is next. Well, welcome back to the second hour of Fans in the Pro, Mike Hoss and Deuce McAllister at 5:20. Today we'll talk with Jonathan Stinchcomb, St. Super Bowl champion offensive tackle, and we'll look ahead at the black and gold situation with all the coaches' changes, and we'll look at the NFL playoffs. College football tonight, Texas against Ohio State. The winner will play Notre Dame in the college football championship. That'll be January 20th. And if you're listening at the top of the end of the 4 o'clock hour, Deuce gave me some homework during the break. He said, we're going to talk a little bit about the situation with college football quarterbacks. Cameron Beck, who the Georgia quarterback, injured, declares for the NFL.
Carson Beck.
Where did I have Cameron from? Carson Beck, sorry. Declares for the NFL, and then they have until January 20th, once you declare, to kind of say, I changed my mind. And so he changed his mind. Now he's going to the University of Miami, where he's been paid handsomely. And so he gets the Georgia money. Eventually, we'll get to the NFL, I guess. Now he's got the Miami money. And so one of the texts on the talking text line, Oakland Heart talking text line, said from 9994, said he's just following his girlfriend down there, which I also looked up at the break, thanks to Deuce, which is the Cavender twins. If you want to go down that rabbit hole, help yourself. I don't have time. I was like, well, okay. I fully support him now in his role and move to Miami to follow one of the Cavender twins.
I'm trying to figure out how did I get thrown in that with as mentioning or suggesting.
Because I don't know who they are.
You did not know who they were. And I said, oh, no, here's where you go, Mike. You're exactly. You're exactly right. I did send you down that rabbit hole, and then I told you, now get out of that rabbit hole because you'll be down it for a while.
I said I can't. I don't have time.
Well, and here's the thing. The Twins were on the West Coast playing basketball, and I think if I remember correctly, it was like Stanford University. Nice school, tremendous academics. NIL pops up. Transfer portal pops up. They have an opportunity to go a lot of different places. Well, Miami was one of the first schools that wanted to be a big player in the NIL space. To my knowledge, his girlfriend doesn't even have any more eligibility. Now, there's crazy things going on with suing the NCAA and, you know, getting another year and doing filing for a waiver and all of that. But like you talked about, his NIL deal from Georgia is complete. You look at those funds. His NIL deal with Miami will start, let's just say, fairly soon, whenever school starts. I think Miami is on the quarter system. They're not on the regular semester system. But here's what's interesting. Here's what's interesting. He's hurt.
Yeah.
He has a shoulder that he had surgery on, which didn't allow him to finish the season or the championship game at all. So he won't even be able to go through spring training. He probably won't throw with his starting receivers until maybe this summer or in camp. And oh, by the way, I think Miami opens in a high-profile game, their first game. If I remember correctly, and I know you're looking it up for me.
Notre Dame.
Tell me again who their opponent will be.
Notre Dame?
Isn't that one of the teams that is playing in the national championship game?
I believe it is. They beat Penn State last night 27-24 on a last-second field goal.
The current Notre Dame quarterback, Riley Leonard, comes from Duke University. He is a one-year, I don't want to call it rental, but a one-year player as well at Notre Dame. Here's another rabbit hole I'm going to send you down. I know we got some other stuff that we got to
we got to take a break.
We got to take a break. But since Notre Dame is not in a conference, if you are participating in, I think, this round of the college football playoffs, normally the conference gets the funding. Well, Notre Dame is unaffiliated. That game or this playoff run, yeah, they just got a $20 million war chest.
Jeez.
To do it with what they shall. We'll go to break now.
That is college football in a nutshell. To do what they shall, right? That's college football. It's unbelievable. All right. Turn the corner a little bit. We'll talk a little Saints football with Jonathan Stinchcomb after this. He'll join us, talk Saints coaching staff, see what needs to happen in this offseason. This is Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister here on WWL. Stay with us. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister here in the 5 o'clock hour with you until 6 o'clock tonight. The Pelicans in Philadelphia tonight. Their tip-off is at 6:30, and that will be right here on WWL, the Big 870. Joining us now, John Stinchcomb, the Saints Super Bowl champion offensive tackle, talking all things Saints, and we'll look a little bit at the NFL playoffs. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Appreciate y'all having me on.
No, awesome. So, you're home. You're watching this from, you know, from afar a little bit. But give me a sense of what you can kind of take away early stages of the coaching situation and just kind of, I guess it's got to be hard. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. The uncertainty of the future. It's got to be difficult to kind of, you know, go day to day.
Well, sure. And that's for everyone involved. I mean, I remember back when we were transitioning from Hazlitt, and obviously those were some pretty extreme circumstances post-Katrina. But there's so many questions, and everybody wants insight and to get that early edge on who it might be. And there's expected turnover, and obviously with the cap situation, there are some restrictions there, and there's obviously some pieces that are going to need to move. So I think more than anything, rather than speed, you just want it to be the right decision. And, you know, if you reflect back two decades and you're going, this is a difficult situation, we need the right guy for the job. And Mickey Loomis and company were able to find that right person. I think Sean Payton was the right answer at the right time. And you hope a similar decision can be reached this time around. That we're, you know, there are some challenges, but you also have an organization that wants to win and wants to provide the pieces that are necessary for those things to come to fruition. So there's a lot to be excited about, and it's a decision that you just can't rush through.
Stinch Deuce here, brother. I hope you're doing well. I hope the family is doing well. But I have to ask you your thoughts on it. The aspect of maybe a former player having that opportunity, a guy that has been, he doesn't have to necessarily be, have been on your team or in the building with you from an organizational standpoint, but give me your thoughts of a former player being able to take that role and, you know, being able to say, hey, whether he's offensive guy, defensive guy, doesn't really matter, but what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Deuce, always good to hear from you, brother. Online, on air or otherwise, but yeah, there is at least, at the very least, a perception from players when there is a coach that's been through it. He's been through the fire, and right or wrong, there is a perception that's just different, and there's a relatability. And I think some guys, some former players can utilize that, and it's to their advantage, and others rely on it, and it's they bring very little else. And there are some coaches that maybe don't have that same playing experience, but they can still win a locker room just because they've got exceptional leadership skills. So it can be done one way or the other. It can be done poorly by a player coach that, you know, they relate, but they don't bring those leadership skills. And then there's some others that don't have that locker room experience as a from a player's perspective, but they can still relate to guys, and guys can still buy into that vision. I know, you know, I think we both played with AG, right? So Aaron Glenn is a name that continues to pop up. And as a player, there are certain guys that you just respect that come in. He was a free agent, and, you know, he's not alone in this, but there is an instant gravitas that they bring into a situation. I think the same holds true for coaches, that when they come in, there's a respect that they're just owed, that you can feel it, that there's somebody that is respectable and they're going to earn it. But you can instantly almost tell that there's something different about them. And I think that's what you're looking for, because, you know, as much as folks want to say, hey, they were a great coordinator, whether it's offense or a defense, I think there's the ask of a head coach is much different than the ask of a coordinator. I think there's a lot of guys that are really good at coming up with game plans and putting together schemes and packages and coordinating a side of the ball that are not or would not be good head coaches. That the ask is so different that, you know, so many times we're looking at it going, he's got to be a good head coach. He was such a good coordinator. And then I think history proves time and time again that's not always the case. So I think when you look at the transition, when Rizzi took over this year, there was you read the commentary from the locker room, you see the response, and there were some leadership aspects to what he brought. And this is no indictment of DA and what he had. I think it's talking specifically about Rizzi. It's the guys were responsive to him. And I think that's what's more important. I think one of the biggest pieces is for any head coach, you want to find good coordinators and build a good staff. But it all starts with your ability to command a room and create a vision and get guys to buy into that and play your style more than anything else.
Well, and Stinch, I'll tell you, commanding a room, and this is no knock or this is no indictment, so whoever's listening, you hear me say this, don't think that I'm specifically speaking of one coach or any room, but commanding a room is not coming in and yelling.
No, not
in this league. And maybe in high school or college, you can get away with that. But in very few NFL rooms, you're going to get away. You're going to be able to get away with just coming in and yelling and think guys are going to listen to you. Because at some point, as you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, they're going to rebel. I mean,
they're going to turn you off.
Bounce back at it.
They're going to rebel, and they're going to turn you off. And it's going to be like, man, this guy don't know what he's talking about.
And
that doesn't help me.
Small circles.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help me. And so if you can't get them, you're not going to be able to get every player day one to buy in. But if you can't tell them, hey, you've got to be able to allow them to be themselves, but allow them to buy into our goal, our team goal. And then if you can't get them to see that I can help you individually be better or to get paid, whichever one that they're chasing, because they're all chasing something. You're either, you know, mm-hmm. you want to be great at football or you want to get a lot of money. Okay, I'm fine with that. But I got to get you to buy into what we're doing as a team. If you can't connect those, and then if I can't get my staff to be able to connect as a unit, you don't stand a chance. It's not going to happen.
Totally agree. You got to be a unifier, right? Somebody who is able to assemble these pieces. Deuce, you were never a yeller, right? I mean, you weren't that guy that comes in the locker room, it's fire and brimstone and burning guys down. But prime example of someone that had the respect of his teammates. And there's a thousand different ways to do it. And I do think that there is a difference in expectations of treatment for this generation of player, that, you know, they can still be pushed hard, but it's got to be done in a way that makes sense. There's a degree of skepticism that you've got to prove to me why the misery that's demanded is going to help us. And I'm not so sure that same degree of scrutiny existed before, for better or worse. So it's not that I don't want to be pushed. It just I need to understand it. And so it doesn't have to be that yeller, but it certainly has to be, you know, it's a maximizer. And that's the job of a head coach, is I'm going to get the most out of my players, out of my coaches, out of the system. And we're going to be better together as a whole. And, you know, it's the 10-80-10 rule, right? Where you've got 10 very positive guys on a team and 10 at the bottom that, you know, is a little bit of a negative influence maybe. And 80 in the middle that are looking to say, you know, what are we about? And you can have a couple at the other end of the spectrum, you've got to make that balance.
Yeah, so you can have a couple of talented knuckleheads. I don't want to get rid of you, but I will. But you make me so good, or you make me better, that if I can get you to just do right a little bit most of the time, then, you know, we can put up with it. But if you're not going to do right at all, and you're just talented, then you got to go. You're exactly right. You got to go, because eventually you're going to pull that 80. Now I'm going to lose another 15, and now that 10-80-10, it looks a little bit different. Now I got, you know, 25% down here that are negative, and my team is I'm losing my team. I appreciate that. I like that misery. You know, you got to love the misery sometimes. I like that. John, I got one question. I'm going to send you down a rabbit hole just because I sent Mike down his rabbit hole earlier. You're over in Georgia, so you've seen it, you've heard it, the Carson Beck situation where, you know, he's going to the – hurts the shoulder, his quarterback for Georgia, you know, championship winning, the, you know, tremendous, you know, most mocks had him at a, you know, we'll say first round, a top five quarterback, you know, pretty much all year, gets hurt. Some uncertainty there, declares for the draft, some back channel talks go on, visits Miami, commits to Miami. Now some of the stuff comes out as far as the NIL package. Just give me your thoughts on what you think and then, you know, really where you see college football heading.
Oh, buddy, wouldn't that be great to know where it's headed? I know this. As a fan – it becomes tiresome. There is an understanding with the NFL where guys are getting paid, and it's a professional league. And what we're seeing is the merger of professional sports at the collegiate level. And it's hard for fans to kind of stomach it because, you know, y'all are in Bayou country. There's plenty of Tigers down there that are going. I've been loyal. If nothing else, the fan base in Louisiana, it's very loyal. And this is our team and these are our people. When we won the Super Bowl, it wasn't congratulations, it was thank you. And when you have that level of loyalty, which I think is probably more prevalent in the college game, and now you see what has been paralleled to free agency. Well, even in free agency, I'm a free agent once and I sign a contract and I'm committed to a team until that marriage is not good for us, right? And we have to part our ways. And now it's every year, and guys are recognizing you've got players that are going, I might not be able to go to the NFL, but I can stick around and get paid millions of dollars at times and play against 19-year-olds. That sounds pretty appealing to a number of guys. And you see the Pavius case where he's going, I'd like to stick around, and very similar. I don't think this opportunity, I know, this opportunity for Carson Beck doesn't exist just a few years ago, where he comes back to Georgia for the 24 season saying, you know, I have a decent year, I could be the first pick in the draft, and they're going to pay me in north of, I've heard, $3 million this year and total deal, whether it's through the collective, and then, you know, he's got deals with Lamborghini and charter flights. So that sounds pretty appealing. I've got an opportunity to come back, get paid a few million, and then get drafted higher, which would equal even more money in the long run. And it doesn't play out that way. You know, he has ups and downs all season long, hurts his shoulder, and it's going that my draft stock at best is the same as where it was when we started this season. And it's not anywhere close to what I thought it would be. And I've got another chance to go and get paid a few million dollars again and improve my draft stock. And I, you know, if you're asking me, do I like it? Of course not. Of course I don't. I don't like the system at place. It's not against Carson Beck. It's, you know, the old saying, don't play, hate the player, hate the game. I don't like it. The way college football is set up and run right now, it's an atrocity. And it's not broken, but there are certainly so many broken aspects of it that it challenges the foundation of what made college football so special. And, you know, that's what makes it hard is, you know, you're eroding some of the loyalties that you've relied on that's created this opportunities to get for guys to get, you know, paid the way they are. It's on the foundation of the loyalty of these fans and these companies that they have with their school. And there will be adjustments coming. I feel certain because they're needed. And you know, it's a far cry from the Leonard Fournette, Johnny Manziel, AJ Green. How can I not? You're using my name to make money, And I can't even, you know, for Fournette, it was, you know, he won a clothing line. Johnny Manziel's going, y'all are selling my jerseys with my name on the back, and I can't get anything from it. And A.J. Green sold his jersey for a charity event and misses three games. So that's where this started, and we're so far removed from the heart of what it was supposed to be that it's just going to need another adjustment, because – you know, what looks good and feels good for players right now is ultimately going to bite all of us. Everyone that loves and has an appreciation and affinity for the college game, there's going to be a toll that is taken. And I think we're already starting to see pieces of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you're already seeing that toll. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you talk about where does the buck stop. It's got to be some type of legislation. I mean, because without a cap – some type of salary cap, and with, you know, ultimately you got to make the guys employees. But I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. We don't have enough time to even talk about that. But I mean, that's where you're ultimately going. And so, it's intriguing. It's interesting for the individuals that can take advantage of it right now. You better. I mean, because it's the wild west out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a player, I'm not hating on a guy who's got an opportunity. If my kids, if they had an opportunity to go make six or seven figures, then I cheer for them. What a great opportunity. And, you know, I encourage you to, you know, as long as it's legal, to pursue those kinds of opportunities. That's great. But I think you're exactly right. I think it goes back to legislation is the only way to create structure where it currently doesn't exist. You know, Rosenhaus is on the air with Pat McAfee talking about how, you know, their players, it's kind of a wild, wild west. And you're going, he's saying there's no restrictions here. That's not a good thing.
And if you continue to watch that interview, he said, and mind you, I am his NIL agent. I am not his NFL agent. And he didn't put yet, because he wanted to make sure he clarified that. And then today, Abdul Carter declares for the draft. And guess who his agent is going to be?
Weird.
Yeah, so the guy weird that just fronted him for the whole year, past year and a half, 2 years, his NIL broker slash agent. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just he was my marketing agent. Now, just so happened.
He
claimed. Yeah,
he found the right piece in that board. And hey, look, we appreciate your time here, John. But Allie said, go get those kids ready so you guys can get this six-figure NIL money, brother. Good to talk to you.
No doubt. Well, the only thing we've been playing in the snow today. Georgia doesn't ever get snow, kind of like y'all. So. We had our few inches, and we're going to act like we live in Colorado for the next couple hours.
That's awesome, man. Enjoy it. And for the record, the hole that Deuce sent me down was really the Cavender twins. It wasn't so much Carson, right? And so that was the hole I spent the 5 o'clock news break doing, was the Cavender twins, and not, I guess Carson was in there somewhere. I don't know. I didn't really didn't see it. Love talking to you, my friend.
A good motivator in there too,
yeah,
brother.
There's somewhere. There's some motivation. Get it your own way, man. You know what you got to do. Go enjoy the snow. Thank you, John.
I appreciate you guys.
John Stinchcomb, just super guy. Just fun to talk to, easy to talk to, thoughtful, good analyst. And so appreciate his time. Take a break. This is Fans of the Pro. My cost Deuce McAllister back after this here on WWL. Well, welcome back, everyone. Fans of the Pro. My cost Deuce McAllister with you until 6 o'clock tonight. It's the wild card weekend tonight. Of course, you had college football last night, Notre Dame and Penn State. Notre Dame wins. Tonight it's Ohio State and Texas. And then it's wild card weekend. And really a crazy start, because you got the Chargers at Houston. That's the first game, 3:30. Chargers had to leave early today because of the wildfire situation. Then the second game is Pittsburgh at Baltimore, Denver at Buffalo on Sunday, Green Bay at Philly. Then Monday night, Washington at Tampa is the third game. Then Monday night, Minnesota was going to be at the Rams. That's now been moved to Arizona because of the wildfire situation. So give me two. I want to... Who do you think's going to be in the Super Bowl? Who do you want to be in the Super Bowl? And I'll go first. I'll make it easy on you.
No, well, I mean,
you. I'll go ahead. I'm just going to give you the want.
No, go ahead.
I don't know who's going to be in it. Nobody. Want.
This is not our segment where we give advice on gaming.
No, That's coming up on our podcast. That's never going to happen. We don't give advice on gaming. We don't give advice on, you know, coaching staffs and, you know, that kind of stuff. I would love to have Minnesota, Detroit versus Buffalo or Houston. Can you imagine Detroit and Buffalo? That's my first choice. Detroit and Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
In New Orleans.
Those fan bases and the struggles that they've seen. Buffalo. Somebody's winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Somebody's winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right. And so for me, it's hard for me to discount Kansas City. Even though
this is my want. Yeah, that's the teams I want.
Well, I mean, that's just a team that I see. I don't necessarily have a want. Another team that I can see playing really well is probably Baltimore. And probably because of the quarterback, Lamar. And he's got a pretty good back that has shown that he still has some wear on those tires, being Henry. That would be my two AFC teams. And so it's a little different than a won't and a kind of who you see. And NFC, it is the Lions. And then the other sneaky team, for me, the other sneaky one, Green Bay Packers.
Really? I was going to say Philly. I think
Philly's, I like Philly.
Philly's built.
Well, they're
for
built.
This kind of
they're
run.
Built, but I don't trust them.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
They're built
right,
but I don't trust them.
Because they haven't done it. They haven't done. They've you know, you got to do it.
They've done it. I mean, they did it. What, 2017?
Yeah.
So you've done it, and you still got pieces from that squad that were part of it. But something just, and I don't know if it's the infighting that happens or the media in that area that puts out the infighting, or, you know, the stuff that you have on the sidelines that you see, or the social media sphere, whatever it is, something gives me reservation about Philly. You've got talent at quarterback. You've got tremendous talent at running back. Your offensive line, if it's not number one, it's top three. Defensively, you've got terrorists, yeah. Zach Vaughn, linebacker, who we're very familiar with.
Carter and Davis.
All pro player, Carter and Davis, a young corner that is tremendous. You know, you still got Slay over at the other corner that's locking down. Chauncey,
yep.
CeeDee Deuce.
Yep.
I mean, but I give you all of that, and something still says, I don't trust you.
I think it's Nick Sirianni.
Well, it may be the head coach. I mean, I don't know. I can't put my finger on exactly, but I just have reservation about them. And so I also want whatever is going to bring in the most money,
yep,
and fun to our city.
Yeah. I just think the Buffalo-Detroit game would be.
Well,
I mean,
you own a plastic table and the Buffalo Bills come to town, just sell it.
Right.
Just sell it. I tell you what, all of your crawfish boil tables, if you have those available and you want to, you know, kind of double up, if the Buffalo Bills come to New Orleans, you're going to make some money.
Yep. That's right.
You are going to make Buffalo, some money.
You have possibility because Minnesota, Houston, you got some other teams. You know, Minnesota's had a pretty tough Super Bowl, you know, run as well. So, I don't know. It's just going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Come back. We'll put a bow on this show, put a bow on this season. Thanks to everyone and everyone for listening, and to Charlie Long in the booth. We'll be back after this. This is Fans in the Bro. My call is Deuce McAllister here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My call is Deuce McAllister for a few more minutes in on what is going to be our season finale. Then we'll take you eventually to 6:30, and the Pelicans tip off. They're in Philly tonight, and man, it's just the we go right from the season to really, for me, in my other world, Super Bowl prep, and then it's all, you know, looking for the Saints head coach, and eventually we'll get to draft, and I want to fast forward all of that, to camp next year, or really, you got the coach, you're looking at the draft, and you're going, how is this team better in 2025?
Well, here's a couple things as well, though. And some of the maneuvers that have been made since we hadn't been on, you have the I don't want to call it the retirement, but the preempt for retirement for Ryan Ramczyk.
Yeah.
With the reduction of the salary. And yep. So that gave the Saints, I think, roughly around $16.5 million. Those numbers are close. They're not exact. And then the Saints carried over, I think it was like $2.5 million from this year's salary, maybe a little bit more. Maybe we'll go with $3 million. 2024 season, some of the salary cap carried over. So within this week alone, without touching a contract, the Saints went from – I think roughly $60 million, yeah. Maybe to 45, 46, 44, 44-ish to get them cap compliant. So even though we won't be doing a show every Friday, that's something that we will follow closely.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Because this team has to get cap compliant by the 1st of March. And so I'm not using the exact date, but they have to be compliant.
Start of the football
season. Yeah, but the start of the regular season for next year. In between all of that, we have all the things that we just talked about.
Right.
You have the combine. Right. You have the Senior Bowl. You have the Super Bowl. Oh, I have the hiring of a coach as well. So let's say some of those coaches that we talked about earlier that did virtual interviews, mm-hmm. you can't technically interview them in person until if they make it to the Super Bowl, until after the Super Bowl. So they have to be out of the playoffs. So if you're potentially trying to hire one that's a part of that roster, that may be February 9th,
yeah.
10th, 11th, well,
what 12th. Be the 9th?
Well, I'm just saying.
I know.
Maybe an agreement is not final, right. But it's in principle.
Right. I was always wondering if they'd get a coach before the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl. Or maybe the Super Bowl's, you know, I don't know. I was curious.
Well, from an interview standpoint, if you want to do it in person, it can't be until they're done with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so that drags it out a little bit more. Now, let's just say you have a plan B that is free immediately, but he sees or he gets a feeling that, hey, your guy is still playing. He takes another job.
Right.
What do you do then?
Right. Because you're waiting around because you can't do it. The NFL slows the process. You want to talk to a guy, but meanwhile, you know.
You can't.
You got a guy on the hook, and you got to let him cut loose.
He's gone. He's right. Gone to another organization, or right. He goes back to his current one. So a lot of moving pieces. You know, obviously we did it via social media. Man, we got to thank all the listeners.
Yeah.
That put up with us on Sundays. We didn't have the success that we wanted as an organization or as a team. You know, we consider ourselves a part of that team. And so, you know, we hope to continue to get better year in and year out. That's the goal. Thank you all for listening to us. We hope that it's an enjoyment and you learn something. And, you know, we're trying to bring a Super Bowl to New Orleans as well.
As he did in social media, he just did it again. Deuce said it perfectly on behalf of all of us. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth who pulls us through and feeds me information in my ear. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Deuce. And have a great night. Be safe, New Orleans. Thanks for listening to Fans and a Probe.